What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hello.
Today's episode brought to you by Birdseye. Birdseye spinach.
So good he had to say it twice.
Birdseye.
Frozen foods. Birdseye.
Birdseye.
Flames is on the show today.
Hey, thanks, Flames.
It's our 251st episode.
What?
I know.
That's
crazy. We're old school.
I know. Remember when?
Back earlier in the day.
Pepperidge Farms remembers.
It's hump day. Hump your neighbor.
Yep.
The mixer. Listen to that. That's tone. Told you we're going to be talking about tone. Nothing like a clown on a rope.
Yep.
From a fresh blueberry pancake.
Isn't that a weird name? No wonder they never made it big.
Whoa, welcome to the show, everybody. That was buzzy.
What do you think about those vocals, though?
Not terrible, very 70s rockish.
It is weird, yeah. Huh? Little guitar heroic there.
Reminds me of a lot of the 70s bands that came out at that time.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, I've never heard of Fresh Blueberry Pancake.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you look up Fresh Blueberry Pancake, you'll get recipes.
Yeah, Eggo's the first thing that came up. It said Eggo's. I said, Lego, my Eggo. I want some heavy blueberry pancakes.
Mm-hmm. Heavy. Name of the album, 1970.
That's right. You should check it out. It's got you a should. Cool. What just happened?
I don't know.
Well, apparently they didn't want us to hear the rest of that song. God damn it. An error occurred. Please try again later.
Those bastards.
I fucking hate errors. But anyway. Know.
People should go and check that out, though.
That was called a teaser. And mm-hmm. What the fuck? I got a buzz over here. I'm smoking all that weed. I seriously don't know if it's this cord or if it's the jack. Because the last time I checked, she had it.
The jack.
She's got the jack.
She's got the jack.
Oh, wait. It's a Terry and Gatch comedy show.
It is. Number 651.
And we got Terry and we got Gatch and we got our normal Flames. Guest. Flames back in the house. He's became a mm-hmm. regular member of the crew now.
Yeah.
The F crew. What's the crew? F crew. Mm-hmm. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Been working hard?
Yeah.
Living lean?
Yes.
All right. I don't know where that came from, but...
You got a YouTube at the ready there?
Yeah, if an error doesn't occur.
All right. Check out a band from Portland. This is... We're going local here. Hunger. From that time, 1969, I think.
Holy cow.
Did you know there was local people playing music back then?
I
don't believe I did.
Well, there was a...
Well, I mean, I know that there were people playing music.
And obviously.
But, yeah, I wasn't aware of a
yeah.
wasn't popular band because I was one. I was one.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
Wasn't Paul Revere and the Raiders from Portland?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. I saw them live at the State Fair once.
What about the Kingsmen, or were they from Seattle?
No, they were from Portland.
That's what I thought.
Yep. And they were in the 60s, right?
Yeah, early to mid, probably.
Mm-hmm. Rocking out. They didn't even know what Beatles were. They were just bugs.
They didn't even know what Beatles were?
Mm-hmm. They were just bugs. Bugs in a rug.
Well, bugs. I'm trying my best here. My shit's giving me difficulties.
Oh, that's fine.
But it gave me the aw snap.
They were kind of a weird band, though. They were very psychedelic, experimental almost to me from what I listened to. You know, a wide variety of odd instrumentation.
Experimental?
I think so. But, you know, maybe, you know, back then it'd probably just be labeled as psychedelic.
Right. I can understand that. I'm getting bands called The Hunger. No, these are like 1998. I don't
These
think
guys put an exclamation mark after the hunger.
Okay, I'll try it. You know, do you know if they're cool enough to have or popular enough to have someone?
Well, look for the song Portland. If you're on the YouTube, that was the song that I was thinking of. They're a psychedelic garage rock band from the 60s. They formed in Portland and later moved to L.A. They released one album, Strictly from Hunger, in 1968. And a reworked version of the album was released in 1969, the next year. And who reworked the album? Strawberry Alarm Clock and Ed King.
From Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yep.
Whoa.
Isn't that weird?
What the fuck was he doing?
He was just working with Strawberry Alarm Clock to rework this band's album.
Was he in the Strawberry Alarm Clock?
No, I don't think so. He's just called in. They probably just, hey, let's get Ed King to come over and help rework this thing.
Because this incense and peppermints thing isn't working out too good. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of a weird.
That is kind of a weird.
I didn't know they had psychedelic garage rock going on. I guess it makes sense in Portland.
Yeah, of course. Everybody was doing it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with Ed King, Flames?
From Skynyrd, yes.
Yeah.
They were a seven-piece, it looks like.
Hunger?
Mike Lane, Bill Daffern, Steve Hansen, Tom Tannery, John Morton, Mike Parkinson, Gene Gunnels. Maybe some of those guys are from Strawberry Alarm.
Oh, that was the guy who first had that disease, right?
Gunnels? Mr. Parkinson?
Parkinson.
Yeah, Mike Parkinson.
Fucking Mike Fox is pissing him. Do you think anybody calls him Mike Fox? That sounds so weird. Yeah, it's my buddy Mike Fox. You might know him. He's on TV and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mike Fox.
So. What about Atomic Rooster? Have you heard of those guys?
I've heard the name. I'm not familiar with any of the tunage.
They were kind of a heavy band from back in the early 70s.
Yeah.
Atomic Rooster. They were an English progressive rock band.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't from Portland, though. You switched over to England.
Yeah. I was just talking about the early 70s.
I bet there's lots of psychedelic garage bands in the Portland area now.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure of that.
Something just happened.
Lots of death metal bands, too. Mm-hmm. By the way, don't forget, it's hump day. We're going to hump you later. And DRI's this Friday, so you should go see that. DRI Friday on the 17th with World of Lies and some other bands.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good show. Actually, I got a message from my friend Lance, and he asked if I was going or had any interest, that he had an interest in going, but I don't know if that means anything's going to happen because of it, but we'll see.
I don't know.
DRI, go to that. Hawthorne Theater, yeah. Portland, Oregon. Speaking of Portland.
You know, I was first getting into these bands and coming across these bands when I was going to make a joke about birds. And so I looked up Rare Birds, and Rare Bird is banned.
Rare Bird?
Rare Bird is a progressive rock band in 1969. They are mostly remembered for their haunting organ-based track Sympathy, which sold 1 million copies globally in 1969.
Wow. That is wow.
Yeah.
That's quite the accomplishment.
That is quite the accomplishment.
It is. They had Dave, one guy on pianos and assorted keyboards, and another guy on organ and assorted keyboards. Yep.
Well, we're learning all kinds of stuff about 70s rock today.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Two of their members were in a band before called Fruit Machine.
Fruit Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. That sounds like a weird band. Huh. Well,
there you have it.
All my shit's fucked.
Oh.
Have you ever had fucked shit?
Dave Caffinetti.
Oh, I know that dude. Oh, Buzz.
Do you?
No.
He's from Rare Bird. All right, do you remember this? This might really test your memory here. Do you know who Viv Savage is?
Mm-mm.
Is he from Belle Biv, Viv DeVoe?
No, he's from This Is Spinal Tap. He's a guy on there. Viv Savage.
I don't know that guy. Oh. Well, maybe.
That was David Caffinetti.
Oh.
David Caffinetti.
And who was Viv? Was he like a manager or someone on there?
I don't know.
You don't?
Yeah, he could have been a radio DJ. He could have been anything on there. I don't know who Viv is.
Well, We know that he was Caffinetti.
Yep. Viv.
I used to have a friend that drank a lot of coffee named Caffinetti.
Is that his full name or is his full name Vivid?
R.J. Parnell was in there. You know Mick Shrimpton?
No.
He was on fucking This Is Spinal Tap 2. He was the drummer for Atomic Rooster.
Oh, Shrimpton. Yeah, I forgot. Him and Atomic Rooster. We used to hang out earlier
in the
day.
Well, we were talking about Atomic Rooster earlier.
I know.
Was that at the cockfights?
It was.
You remember John Stumpy Pepis?
Me and him. Yeah.
You do?
We go way back.
He was the bass player for the Cocks.
Was he?
No.
No, he was played by Ed Begley Jr. And This Is Spinal Tap.
Oh.
Wow.
Did you know he was in there?
I must have not known. That's fucking weird, dude.
Weird.
Am I on the right movie?
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. We have gone.
Dana Carvey
this
was
has
in there?
Been the largest tangent episode so
Did
far.
Did you know Dana Carvey was in This Is Spinal Tap?
Nope.
He was.
Did he do a drum solo?
He was the mime waiter.
Oh, yeah, I guess I think I did know that. Dude, it's been a while since I've seen
the mime waiter.
Me and the mime waiter, we go back way back in the day.
I
forgot.
There you have it.
Go ahead.
No, there you have it.
Oh, there you have it.
That's all I'm saying.
There you have it. I forgot to mention on Monday's show that I went to a birthday party on Saturday night.
Saturday night.
In Tangent. Can you guys guess where I'd go to a birthday party in Tangent?
The Dixie.
Nope.
Rose.
Second guess, yep. The Rose Garden. It was out in their garden.
Uh-huh.
The Rose Garden. Leanna turned 40.
Oh,
and,
really?
Keith took her out to dinner and, like, arranged this huge surprise party with a Facebook page that was private. But it was just amazing because he said, you know, it's hard for him to keep a secret from her because, you know, they don't lie to each other. And so to not tell all the truth. So anyway, about 40 people showed up. And when we got there, we had to park, like, there was about 15 or 20 cars. So it couldn't have been a surprise. It's not one of those things where we could jump out and say, surprise!
Yeah.
But they gave us all cans of Silly String.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about 30 of us that each had our own can. And they pulled up. We're all, happy birthday! And she steps out of the car, and all of us just, like, nailed her with 30 cans of Silly String. You literally could not see. She put her hands up over her face, and you couldn't even see her hands. It was just, like, a big pile of Silly String. It was pretty awesome. I'd never seen so much Silly String sprayed in one spot.
Wow.
Silly String.
And then, we left. God damn it. We left a little bit early. I need to do something about this, because, you know, we're old. We had to get home.
Yep.
Sorry about that scratchiness. Apparently they had a nice cake fight afterwards that was documented by pictures where Leanna looked like a black person. She had so much chocolate cake and frosting on her face. They were wrestling around on the floor. I'm sure it was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that was about it. I was just getting ready to jam with Jason and Bobby Pamplin and those guys, and then it was time to go. It was a fun time, though. We partied without drinking, which is what I always do, I guess. But yeah. Happy birthday, Leanna.
How many people went and planted trees today in Egypt?
I don't know. Do we have any listeners?
I think I planted three.
Maybe a couple.
Randoms. Have we ever had a download in Egypt? Out of 100.
I think so.
9 countries. You'd think Egypt would have been one of them.
Shout out, Egypt listeners.
Mm-hmm. We'll be performing live at the pyramids in 2016 on our world podcast tour.
That would be awesome.
We hope you guys can join us. I was watching a little bit of a documentary about the band Pussy Riot. And when they first came out and got arrested and stuff, I used to do a bit about those guys. But they're girls, and they're from Russia, and they formed on the day that Putin was reinstated as president of Russia as a backlash or a whatever, revolt. And they wear fucking, like, weird, brightly colored, like, ski masks over their head. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
weird. And then they're
don't want to be seen known.
They're a pretty cool punk sounding band, though. They were playing clips of them, but I couldn't watch more than about 20 minutes of documentary because they all speak in Russian, and you just have to read subtitles the whole time. But their lyrics are, like,
kill the government and burn down everything, and it's pretty cool.
They're anti
Putin
government.
They're anti Putin.
Anti government. Yep.
It was a Putin riot. But yeah, that's on Netflix. You can check it out. Pussy Riot.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
That says pussy.
Yeah. You ever hear of the Bunker Brothers?
Nope. Maybe, but
not. What about the Bacon Brothers?
I know
the Bacon
and
Brothers,
the Barker Brothers, and the Banker Brothers.
Oh, but not the Bunker Brothers. You ever see those pictures of those old Japanese Siamese twins?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Bunk Brothers.
How was their Bunker name Brothers. Bunker if they're Chinese?
I don't know.
Maybe they just bunked together.
Yeah. They died today.
What? They were still alive?
In 1918.
In 1874.
Oh, 1874. Oh. I was close.
They were like 63 years old.
Oh, could you imagine?
Wow, being stuck with some other dude. How would you get laid?
Dude, this is... No, check this out.
You just lay in one bunk. That's why they call them a bunker.
Check this out.
Check it.
Check
this out.
They were 63 years old.
I know. And
I already said that.
And for the two of them, that's a total of 126.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They were both married.
To each other.
How in the... Oh, I know. Wow. Hey. How?
Hey.
Their bed was built for four.
That's nice. Why they call them the Bunker Brothers.
Yep.
Wow.
They had a bicycle built for two.
That would be kind of interesting.
Chang and his wife had 10 kids.
Were they connected at the head?
No, they were connected at the liver.
My liver.
Like the liver down.
They
had three legs, I think, but the liver down.
You mean five, or did they just have...
No, they had three legs.
But did they have two penises?
No, they were... Yeah.
So they're five legs, kind of.
I think so. I guess you would probably have...
How in the heck?
You
just had the women lay down.
Okay, I'd have to look at the picture again. But Chang and his wife had 10 kids, and Ing and his wife had 11 kids.
Chang Bunker and Ing Bunker?
So one had 10, and the other had 11 kids
with
different wives.
I guess their conjointedness didn't really stop him from having some wild
And if you think about it, the racist, fascist pig that he was, Archie, was probably related to those guys.
Well, that's funny, too, because they
all
now
the
have more than 1,500 descendants.
Yeah, I bet Archie Bunker was...
Holy cow.
Yep.
They fucked a lot of bitches. You know that if porn was more popular back in the 1800s, they probably would have been a big hit.
Oh, porn was popular back in the day, let me tell you.
Well, they were Asian, so their penises probably just equaled one. I don't know why.
Tickle.
Yeah. You know, their wives eventually...
You want me to tickle you with my pickle?
Their wives eventually got to squabbling, so they had to have two separate households, and the twins would alternate spending 3 days at home with... At each house.
Oh, 3 days. My God.
Far out, man.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. I guess you just get to sit there and watch.
Yeah. Well, the wives have to be patient.
Kind of be half-assed involved with it.
Did they have three butt cheeks?
Just
two.
I think they were just joined. Okay, I got a picture here. But his brother woke up to find him dead.
Oh, that's a sad day.
And they called for an emergency separation, but the other one died.
That was when they were legally separated.
Yeah, so it looks like they had all the appendages going on. They were just joined, like, at the side, like... At the hip. At the liver. Because you could see, like, if you look up pictures of them...
Oh, they got two legs.
They got four legs and four arms. They wrap around each other, and... They were sideshow people in the 1800s.
And they had a custom tailor, obviously.
Oh, yeah. suit would have been hell to put on.
That gives a whole new meaning to a double-breasted suit.
And today they would be able to separate them, but they were not able. They were joined at the sternum by a small piece of cartilage, and their livers were fused, but independently complete.
Their sternum?
Mm-hmm.
They'd be face-to-face. Oh, sternum on the side, maybe.
I think so. The side of the rib cage, maybe. Yep.
Dude, what is God's problem?
Yeah. I don't know.
That dude's like a mad scientist, man. He's like, hey, check out this kid. I'm going to just take his femur out and see what happens. Let's just put these two conjoined at the head.
Both their sons fought for the Confederacy in the American Civil War.
Wow.
Yep.
Good for them.
Yeah.
They should have fought for the right to separate their kids without their consent, because that's a fucking shitty way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, real shitty. One of them had to go to Dookie, the other one had to go to...
Wonder if they had a double toilet like that commercial on Saturday Night Live, when you just have to do everything together because your love is so strong, or you're connected with the liver. Get the new lover's toilet.
You also, you can go over to Philadelphia to the Mütter Museum.
Mütter?
That's Mütter with an umlaut on the U. Mütter.
Motley Mütter.
And you can see their fused liver on display there.
Sweet. Oh, that's what
that
I want to do.
Dried out by now.
It's probably in formaldehyde.
Did you watch that movie, Pie?
No, man.
Motherfucker.
Nope. I'm sorry. Nope. I still haven't watched Mega Piranha.
That
either.
One guy's in it, too. Did you know that?
Motherfucker.
Mega Piranha.
No, one guy's in it, too.
I have three movies that you've loaned me that I haven't been able to bring myself to watch. One is Bonsai something or other. What's that Bonsai movie you gave me?
Oh, you don't need to watch it.
And I saw some people Buckaroo bragging
Bonsai.
Yeah, I saw some people bragging it up on Facebook.
Ooh, Buckaroo Bonsai.
And then the Life of Pi.
I'm
going to
watch a weird movie, watch Naked Lunch.
Burroughs. Mm-hmm. That movie really burrows into my soul.
Does it?
Yep. So I mentioned this on Monday that we would talk about. Speaking of watching movies, and I watched the Cheech and Chong animated movie. And if anyone's a fan of the old albums of Cheech and Chong,
yeah.
This is pretty cool. They just put it all to cartoons.
I got one question.
I got an answer.
How animated was it?
It was fully animated. It was a total
no
cartoon.
Way.
There were no live action characters in it whatsoever.
Crazy, dude.
He was just, his face was just like bright, and his eyebrows were wide, and no, but it's pretty cool. They kind of tie a lot of them together, like the Sister Mary Elephant from the Wedding Album, along with the Sergeant Stadenko from Los Cochinos.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. It's kind of cool to see it played out and to realize that if they would have just written that as a script for a sketch TV show or something like that, it would work out with a cast, you know?
Did you know that movie was written by Cheech and Chong?
Yeah, I did. So you guys should check that out. It's pretty cool. But there is a couple, like, weird little songs and... they did the thing about where Horrendo Revolver was doing an expose on the recording industry.
Uh-huh.
And they went into the studio to see if they could find a session in session. And on the original album, he's like, hey, man, check out this cool new hit, man. It's going to be number one with your help, of course. And it was originally Johnny Stash with his song about Black Lassie. But they, like, cut it out, and it just said 2 minutes and 28 seconds later. So I don't understand, because that was their own song that they performed and wrote.
Mm-hmm.
For a second, I thought, legal matter, they couldn't play the song. But
yeah,
it's off the same album of all the clips that they'd been playing. It was very strange.
Very strange.
Can I say something to the parents out there?
You can.
All right.
Because I'm done with
Cheech and Chong. About this movie.
Oh, okay.
As far as profanity goes, language isn't as strong as you might guess.
Oh, it is.
But it does include shit, balls, ass, goddamn, and sexual language like rim and muff, and there's name-calling like bitch.
Yes, that is all appropriate and true. Mm-hmm. Well, it's inappropriate for children, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
As far as sex and nudity, strong innuendo and sexual content are throughout.
Oh, yeah.
The first shots show crabs living in an extreme close-up of a woman's hair-covered private parts.
Yes, it does.
A man is seen getting oral sex in a car at a drive-in.
Yes.
In which the woman's head bobs below the screen, but the sound effects are enough to indicate what's going on.
And that happens in the studio, too.
A character walks away with an erection under his pants.
And he's like, hey, did you get that crowbar? Mm-hmm. And he's like, kind of, or sort of, or something. They snuck some people into the drive-in in the trunk.
Uh-huh.
And then they couldn't, he broke the key off in the lock.
Head drove in the drive-in.
Yeah, and then he's like, you got a crowbar, man? And he's like, yeah. He's like, where is it?
In the trunk.
It's in the trunk, man. He's like, go see if you can borrow one from those guys. And then he goes, go to the snack bar. Comes back with fucking all this popcorn and candy bars. He's like, hey, man, did you get that crowbar? And he's like, oh, man, I knew I was forgetting something. He's like, I was the last dude in line. It's pretty good, though.
A man's naked bottom is covered with poop.
Yes, it is.
And dogs attempt to have sex.
Oh, and Herbie
Sister
and
Mary Elephant yells at her class to shut up.
Shut up!
Thank
you. The characters watch a somewhat violent movie on TV with a Nazi questioning a prisoner.
Yeah. It's edgy, dude.
Man, I get to know. I feel like I watched the movie just watching the parental guide to this movie.
Spoiler alert.
Yep. As far as alcohol, drugs, and smoking, the characters are almost constantly smoking pot and high.
They're doing some coke once in a while.
Most of the jokes center around the exaggerated quantity of drugs consumed.
Yeah, like when they're getting pulled over.
What's the rating on this?
R. It's pirate.
Many
rating.
Other drugs are mentioned and or consumed, including reds, cocaine, acid, and wine.
Yeah, he's like, hey, man, the cops are behind us. Here, man, eat these. And he's like, yep. I can't eat all these reds, man. He's like, no, take this acid. He's like, oh, it was only an ambulance, man.
In one scene, Chong must consume a carload of drugs when flashing red lights show up in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, and there was like their little acid pieces, the little hits of acid on paper had marijuana leaves on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it must have been acid. Mary Jane.
Yep, it was marijuana acid.
Yep, and violence is a minor issue with some fighting and some fake ads that encourage suicide and gouging zits.
Oh, yeah, that's bad for kids, you know, as well as anybody.
Gouging zits?
Yeah, you don't want to do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Ah, well, that's
at least not the gouging zits.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yep.
That was a fun little story there.
Have you seen American Hustle yet?
No, it's in the theaters, and I don't usually go in there.
All right.
I heard it's kind of funny and that they have a lot of perms.
What was the last movie you watched, Flames?
At the theater?
Any movie.
Oh, the last movie I watched was probably...
Probably. I've seen that one. Isn't that with Liam Neeson?
Oh, what was
where
that?
Where he thinks his daughter's probably taken.
What was that? The Conjuring was probably one of the last movies I've seen.
What do you think about that one?
Oh, he told us. Remember, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
That was an awesome movie.
I didn't get to watch it yet, so shut the fuck up, you guys.
Oh, you didn't get to watch it yet?
I liked it.
You already got part six.
What? No, but I'd like to talk a little bit about a movie that I'm getting ready to watch.
What's that?
Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia.
Ooh.
Now, check it out. There's a Haunting in Connecticut, did you ever see that?
No.
Okay, it's a story of these people who... like lived at a place that was like far away from the hospital, and their son had cancer, and they kept having to drive back and forth, and then blah blah blah. So they bought a house nearer to the hospital. Turned out the house was like formerly a funeral home, and the people that lived there like to do taxidermy.
That's based on a true story.
Yeah, supposed to be, but it was loosely, very loosely based. So anyway,
based on a true story.
Part two comes out, and it's called The Ghosts of Connecticut 2. Mm-hmm. It's not in Connecticut, and it's not about the house in Connecticut. It's about a different house and a different ghost and a different whole fucking scenario. Mm-hmm. So why don't they just call it Ghosts of Georgia, I guess, to maybe get the people who watched the first one? And then the third one's going to be...
But the first one had such horrible reviews, though, that why would they want to keep it... It's not like it's going to pull people to watch it more.
And they've already started making the third one, which is called A Haunting in New York. Mm. About a completely different house and a completely different haunting and a completely different bunch of bullshit. But I did hear that it was an interesting, spooky watch, so I might watch that Haunting of Connecticut 2. But I just can't fucking... I want him to do the Haunting of Florida.
You haven't seen The Conjuring?
No.
I don't know. I'm going to just a little something as a parent. A wife and a husband kiss in that movie.
Yeah. I can't let my children be exposed to things of that nature, so that movie will not be viewed in my house. Thank you for the alert there.
Uh-oh.
You're welcome.
This is Andrew Lloyd Webber joining us for the crazy Florida stories, which will be coming to you any minute now. You got anything else you want to talk about before we go to this Florida story?
No.
Nothing?
Well, all right.
No, I'm ready. I just didn't want to cut you off.
Sunshine Forever died at the old age of 29.
Who?
Sunshine Forever.
Is
that a horse?
Yep.
He picked him to win in the show.
And also Nelson Mandela died.
What?
The horse.
Oh.
He had to be put out to pasture because he was 91 years old. Do you guys like to eat spinach?
Sometimes.
I tried it once after watching a Popeye cartoon, and then I didn't watch Popeye so much.
One time, my recess teacher, or whatever, the guard on duty during lunch at school,
recess
in fourth grade, told me that before I could go out to recess and play, that I had to eat at least one bite of everything on my tray. I said, I don't like spinach. And she said, it doesn't matter. And I said, but spinach makes me sick, Mrs. Renard. And she said, well, then I guess you can't go out to play. And I said, oh, yeah, watch this. Ate one bite, puked all over my tray. Got to go home at lunch.
Nice. I'll teach her.
What does that have to do with Florida, you ask? Well, in Sarasota, Florida, a woman said she was disgusted to find a bird skull in the spinach that she and her friends have been eating.
Oh, God.
She purchased a package of frozen spinach and set aside a strange chunk when she cooked it to serve her New Year's Eve guests. She investigated the chunk while cleaning up the next day. I picked it up and started pulling the spinach off and realized there was two eye holes, and it was a little skull.
Yep, that surprises no one that has ever worked in a cannery.
There was one eyeball missing, and she said, I ate that eyeball. Or someone
hilarious.
Did. We did
receive. You gotta examine your food closer before you put it, whatever you're doing with
hey,
it.
Hey, if you were blind, you'd never know when you were done wiping
that
your ass.
True.
And you'd never know if there were bird eyes in your fucking. What's that food they make? Bird's eye? Maybe that was
it
the
is
brand.
Frozen vegetables.
Bird's eye!
It was their fucking mascot, dude.
Like,
the fucking.
She tried to sue
mascot.
Them and they're like, dude, it's on the fucking package.
And they've been.
Bird's eye.
They've been looking for the company mascot for 6 months.
The store said that they did receive communication from a customer through their new customer care department, which was shared with our corporate quality assurance team, and they're working through the details with the customer and the supplier. We have not received any additional complaints and believe that most people enjoy eyeballs in the spinach. No, wait. They believe it's an isolated incident.
Mm-hmm.
Isolated.
No one's gonna find that bird head again in their stuff.
It's an isolated issue.
That's funny. You know what about bird's eyes?
What?
I shot a bird's eye out once.
With a BB gun?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't
kill it, did
it? Gun.
No, it didn't kill it.
Yeah, and so you sat there and watched it suffer.
Nah, I shot it in the head afterwards.
Well, it's in the eye and its head, too. Literally.
He probably shot it out of the sky first, then went up to it,
well,
shot
I didn't
his eyeball
it out of
out.
The sky. I shot it off a telephone wire.
He shot
it
off a wire.
Yeah. Shot off a wire and then went over and then shot its eye out and then shot it in the head.
Yeah.
And then I picked it up and said, oh, little birdie, what happened to you?
Yep.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Hey, and I wrapped a bandage around his head and gave him a wooden eye.
That's right. Wooden eye, mate.
I stuck one of those cat's eye marbles in there. That was way too big for, it was like three times the size of his other eye.
Like at that guy on Top Secret.
At least he didn't fuck an eye. Fuck an eye. Hey, did you watch that movie that I asked you to get for me and you got for me the Unbookables?
No.
You didn't?
No.
The Unbookables.
Dude, it's fucking weird.
Weird.
How unbookable are they?
They're pretty unbookable. They got fired.
Well,
really? They're his opening crew that he was bringing around with him. I'm not familiar with the guy. I can't even remember his name now, but Sean Rouse was one of the guys. And the guy just thought that their crewmer was too hewed.
Yep.
And when you hew your crewmer too much, the people don't want to listen to that. But No, he paid him anyways and said, look, you can finish or you can go. And then they tried to tell him, dude, you're totally selling out. And, like, you're going to let your opening acts and your friends get fired. And then you're going to continue just to be the headliner. It's like, dude, I made a deal with these guys months ago and signed a contract that I'm doing four nights at this comedy club, and you guys did two nights and got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Still got paid. And now you're going to bitch at me because there was a whole bunch of underlying issues. Christine Levine was on it and Andy Andrus. It was pretty cool.
Well, as with anybody, if you took fucking a dozen people on the road, right?
Well, it was three, and then Christine and Andy came out later and joined the tour like halfway through or something. But it's definitely a very in-depth look at, you know, what's going to happen on the road and what goes on. And Maybe to tell you if you want to be successful, sometimes you got to adhere to what the public wants to hear. Like, you want to be yourself and you want to just do what you want to do? Well, sometimes people don't want to hear what you want to do. And if you want, if you want to get work, or if you just want to be an artist, then that's fine. Be an artist, but...
Be a starving one.
Yeah, a starving artist. You do have to look at your crowds, though, and try to say, hey, I should tailor my set to them because they've paid money to come see me. I want to entertain them. I don't want them to leave thinking, God, that guy was just crude and wasn't funny.
But if you say that, though, then isn't that what Nickelback's doing?
Yeah, a little bit, I guess.
Nickelback.
They're just pandering to what the public wants.
I did watch that Stanhope special. It's on Netflix. That was recorded at Dante's just a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty good. He's pretty dark, as always, but he told a story about his mom killing herself with morphine pills.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it was just weird how he twists little bits of humor out of such a dark subject. And then I tried to tell my wife about it when we were driving in the car, and then she's like, why did you tell me that? I'm about to start crying right now. And I was like, no, it's funny. And she's like, no, it's not. Another example how where humor is subjective to people, and if one person thinks that I'm going to cry, and the other person thinks that they're going to laugh. Which just goes to show you, look, we're all on this fucking...
Was that beer hall putsch?
Yeah. Which is a Hitler thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely good. You should watch it if you get a chance. I enjoy it.
I have no parental concerns about kids watching that movie.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
I don't have any to read.
Dude, well, there should be some about letting your grandma kill herself with morphine. And.
Nope, I have no parental ratings.
He says he called the doctor to see how many of these morphine pills it would take to kill a person because his mom wanted to kill herself because she was terminally ill and was suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it'd take 30 to kill any human. Any human would die from 30 of these morphine pills. Hey, mom, how many you got? 90. She had 90? All right, plenty. So they had a party, and him and Bingo got some liquor, and they were going to have a good time with mom for her last night on the planet, you know, and they got her to have a couple drinks, which she hadn't drank because of her medical condition. But he said, Mom, you don't want to die sober. Come on. And so then she's like, she took all the pills. She's just eating them like candy and drinking a drink. And she gets to about 35. And I'm like, Mom, that's enough. They said that's enough to kill you. And she's like, well, I don't want it to not work. So he's like, so she continues to eat the entire 90 morphine pills.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, the whole time I'm thinking to myself, Mom, 30 of them would have fucking worked. You could have left like 60 to me and Bingo, like as our only inheritance. Like maybe once in a while we could take a morphine pill and remember Mom. And then he's like, and to prove that there is life after death, somehow her credit card got charged up 4 days after she died on a Sky Mall purchase for $4,000, which is basically saying that he did it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he said he had to wait for that joke for 4 years to bring it to the stage because the statute of limitations on credit card fraud was 3 years.
Do you think he's getting egotistical?
A little bit.
I just say that because on the credits of that movie, it only lists him. It doesn't list all the audience members.
Yeah, and it doesn't mention Christine and Andy in there at the beginning of it, backstage talking with them for about 2 minutes, just talking.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, written, produced, and performed by Doug Stanhope. Mm-hmm. Starring Doug Stanhope. Nah, he's not too bad. He lives right down the street from fucking Raging Bull. Jake Liotta.
Oh, really?
The guy that De Niro played in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
He had him over for a football game.
Yeah, they do the big Super Bowl party.
And he said that dude was so fucking old and out of it, he didn't know where the fuck he was or if he was watching football or what he was doing.
Wow.
They had four camera operators on that special. Two of them named Mark Anderson.
I could have swore I heard Chris Castle's laughing
in the bathroom.
That can't
be right.
Yeah, they're twin brothers.
Are they?
No.
Named with the same name?
Marky Mark.
Mark and Mark.
Well, they're Spanish, so they
Mark
call them Marky
Mark.
Mark. Like Chi-Chi Chong.
Mark and Mark. Marky Mark.
Two Spanish children named Marco.
Marco.
Marky Mark.
They are different people. That's weird.
They are different people?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he has a thing about Mark Anderson's Mark and too. He just likes... Yeah. I'm looking for a camera operator that's good, and he's named Mark Anderson. I'm looking for two, maybe three. You can find a couple Mark Anderson.
But two will work.
Camera, that's a minimum. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Mickey McMullen on the audio supervisor for that.
He did a good job.
Mickey McMullen.
He is known for his work on The Amazing Race, America's Next Top Model, and Top Chef Masters.
What do you think about Stanhope's
wardrobe as of late?
Have you seen it?
Uh-uh.
He wears like those old school fucking car salesman suits. Like bright plaid fucking things with like orange and yellow and then a weird little suit.
Yep.
It's weird, dude. A big fat tie. It's like super wide
nothing
lapel.
No like logoed things, right?
No, totally like reminds me of thrift shop buys, you know, like old suits.
Well, I would
70s.
Imagine that's where they shop.
Sharp? It's sharp.
I would imagine that's where they shop because I know Amy Bingo.
She's a big fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they live a pretty minimalistic life down there on the Mexican border in Bisbee, Arizona.
Yep.
He did say he pays $800 a year in property taxes, and that's it.
Wow.
So he can afford to buy, like, voice-activated R2-D2 robots for $4,000 when he's fucking blackout eBaying. He's like, I used to drunk dial my friends, but now I just fucking blackout shop on the internet. It's like 3 days later, the fucking UPS guy will get there with packages that I don't even know what is in them. That'd be kind of fun. Just blackout and order shit.
I've never done that.
I can't say I have either.
Not yet. Hey, though, have you ever done bath salts? We talked about that. We've been trying to get someone for a year or more to come on our show and do bath salts, and now glory of bath salts has kind of passed. You don't hear a lot about it anymore because the word got out, but apparently not in Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
The headline says, at least he didn't bite anyone's face off. Omaha National Guardsman Travis Katowski is offering his apologies to two Nebraska police officers after he attacked them while he was nude, running down the street high on bath salts. He thought he took some LSD in an effort to get, quote, out of his mind, unquote.
Out of my mind!
Unfortunately, he says his plan worked a little too well. He was looking for something different. He says, I got different. I got jail. I went from being on the couch just sitting there like, I'm going to have a great time, to boom, hospital. Apparently, it was bath salts. After he took them, he felt really weird before running outside with no clothes on. Chasing something he can no longer recall, he realized he felt really cold, started to be able to have difficulties breathing, and he was foaming at the mouth with some type of blue stuff. If he's convicted of a felony, he will be discharged from the National Guard.
You will be shit out of there?
It was his choice to do an illegal drug, but what I did to those cops that night is not who I am. It's not worth it. Doing drugs is never worth it. Kids, like I said on Monday, don't do drugs. Stay in school.
Have you been doing any meow meow flames?
Oh, have you heard?
Yeah.
I forgot that that's his probably drug of choice because that's
meow meow.
There's a new drug, street drug called meow meow.
Yeah.
It's how do I say it? Mephadrone, and it's not. I'm not saying it with a lisp.
Mephadrome.
It's Mephadrome. Mephadrome. It makes you freak out and cut your penis off is what happened to this one. It makes your extremities discolored. I don't know what color they turn, but apparently it freaked this guy out so much that he cut his dick off.
Talked
about it on Monday. Yeah, they got it sewn back on. He stabbed his mom and then cut his penis off. And normally he's a lovely lad. This was in the UK. He's 19 years old. So stay away from the meow meow flames, meow.
Meow.
It's also called MCAT on the streets.
MCAT.
Meow. So that's that.
Yeah. A little bit more about the mephadrone. When taken orally, users reported they could feel the effects between 15 to 45 minutes. When snorted, the effects are felt within minutes and peaked within half an hour. The effects last for between 2 to 3 hours when taken orally or nasally, but only half an hour if taken through the vein.
What about anally?
No word yet.
I don't think you looked very hard. Because I know that if there's a drug on the street, people are going to be putting it in their butt.
Yep. In a survey of users who had previously taken cocaine Most users found methadrone produced a better quality and longer-lasting high and was less addictive and carried the same risk as using coke. So it's the new coke.
Yeah. Wow. All right, let's go get some.
It's like coke, but it's safe and lasts, and it's better.
On my next birthday party, I'm having a methadrone party. And they'll say it's my birthday. It's your birthday, too. It's everybody's birthday. Let's get naked and run down the street.
All right, Nelson Mandela's here.
Hey, wait, he died. Hey, today for birthdays, we got two famous dead people who have the middle name Van. Mm-hmm. That's fucking weird.
Wow.
Van Vanderson.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Vanny Van Vanderspiel.
Oh.
And Vanderspiel?
No. Don Van Vliet.
Oh.
A.K.A. Captain Beefheart.
Oh,
he's
dead.
No,
he's been dead for a few years.
Man.
Yeah,
look at that Trumpish mask replica.
That sucks for him, man. Yeah, it sucks that you didn't know that too. I'm sorry for your loss, Flames. Captain, and Nelson Mandela, both Don Van Vliet has passed away. Beefheart would have been 73 today, and the other Van who's celebrating a dead birthday is Ronnie Van Zant.
Zant.
Yes,
Both inventor of the Van.
Yes.
And shoes.
I've had a Don Van and a Ronnie Van. Now I have a Dodge Van.
Those are the two guys. Those are the two Vans that started the shoe company, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Don Van and Ronnie Van. They started the Vans Shoe Company in 1914.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Back when skateboards were first getting popular.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's weird that the original inventor of the skateboard also celebrating a birthday today, Noriko Ott.
Oh, nice. Happy birthday, inventor of the skateboard.
Yeah.
But he was in The Princess Bride, I believe. Six Finger Louie.
Seen that movie yet?
No. Oh, yeah. I might go away someday. Also, local friend and celebrity of sorts, Toby Lugo. Birthday today.
Happy birthday.
He's the big
3-0. Happy birthday.
He's the same age 2 days after William
inventor
Hung.
Inventor of the drum kit.
Just think of that. Put that in perspective. Toby Lugo and William Hung are 2 days apart in birth.
Wow. Mm-hmm. He is the inventor of the drum kit.
Toby?
Mm-hmm.
He's also the inventor of the lug.
Yep.
Lugo.
And William Hung is inventor of the noose.
Because Richard Hung himself. Oh, wait. William Hung himself. William Hung himself. Went on American Idol and put himself on the shelf.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Toby, Noriko, and two dead guys.
And two dead guys.
And that's what we were just listening to in the background. There was two dead guys and two guys who are still alive. The Beatles.
Hey.
I know. What a coincidence. This whole show is just full of coincidences.
I'll tell you about a coincidence.
You knocked my headphones off.
That is a coincidence, because I was not going to say that. I was going to say Stephen Root coincidence that he's in every fucking show ever. And that I went this entire time not knowing that he was fucking Bill Dotrieve.
God, how long have you been fucking him?
I don't know.
Stephen,
did you know he was Bill Dotrieve?
No, but I didn't know he was fucking him either. Who's Bill Dotrieve?
From King of the Hill.
Yeah. Bill.
Bill.
Oh.
Bill.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Man.
He's done a lot of voiceover
work. Dang old Stephen Root's my neighbor.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So Stephen Root, yeah, he's been in like...
I got a list of shows here he's been on
Dustin,
that are going to blow your mind.
My co-host,
you know
Gatch,
who that is?
He likes lists.
You know
lists.
Stephen Root?
I think so.
He wanted his stapler back in Office Space.
Uh-huh.
That's my stapler.
Yep. He was in... shitload of movies. In No Country for Old Men.
Yep.
He was big. He's big in the Coen brother movies.
He was the dad in some show that I watched.
What show was that?
Oh, it was Bad Milo.
Oh, yeah.
And also the guy from Fargo, and he was in Lebowski when he threw the ferret in the bathtub. That guy was in Bad Milo, too. Also, I mean.
No. Oh, I thought you were going to say Root threw it in there.
No, the Volkswagen guy. No, Stephen Root was the guy who had the son.
He was on News Radio.
Was Ken Marino was his son in that movie.
Yeah, Bad Milo. Dude, these are some shows he's been on. Justified.
He's been in 183 roles.
Mm-hmm. The Newsroom and Boardwalk Empire, two HBO shows of recent.
Okay.
A Raising Hope, which you've mentioned before, I think.
Yep. That's the one. He was the dad in. That's another one that he was the dad in that I was trying to think of. Thank you for helping me.
He was in the hit show Fringe.
Uh-huh.
Children's Hospital.
Stephen King. No?
No, Children's Hospital is that one on Comedy Central, I think, or whatever, or FX with where those clowns work in the hospital or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if I know
with,
that one.
With Rob Corddry.
Never seen it.
Adventure Time.
Oh,
which Hans loves.
Yes.
Stephen Root's been in Adventure Time.
My daughter loves that show as well.
Meow.
Louie.
Oh, yeah.
Louie.
Yep. I just saw him in that recently.
24.
I only watched two seasons of that, but.
Californication.
Ooh. X-Files, dude.
Hey.
True Blood.
Nah.
Never saw Meow. It.
The West Wing.
Meow.
Wow.
Frasier.
Meow. Whoa.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
That old show, Ed. Remember that one?
It
was like the reality show thing guy.
Mr. Yeah. Ed.
No. Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Sybil.
Okay.
Remember that show?
Yeah.
That movie with Sally Field?
No, Sybil with that one slut that fucked Elvis.
I know, and she was in You Talking to Me with fucking Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
And Moonlighting, yeah.
Chicago Hope and NYPD Blue and L.A. Law.
All of some of Hans' favorite shows ever.
And another Hans' favorite, Blossom.
Oh!
He was in Blossom, believe that.
Whoa!
Hey. Whoa.
So you know he's good friends with Joey.
He was in Quantum Leap.
Wow, Dean Stockwell.
And Northern Exposure.
Oh!
Murphy Brown.
Oh.
Night Court.
Hmm.
Head of the Class.
He pretty much just hung around at the studio. And was
Roseanne.
Just, I'll just be on your show once.
Jake and the Fat Man.
Wow.
Damn.
Do you know what his first role was, Flames?
Nope.
Ever? I'll tell you what. It was a movie that Paul Hogan was in.
Hulk Hogan?
Not Hulk.
Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan.
Yeah, you know, he played Crocodile Dundee.
Oh.
That's not a knife.
So, what movie do you think he was in?
Crocodile Dundee.
Nope, Crocodile Dundee 2. Sorry, you got it.
All right, Hans, do you like that? Hope you like Stephen Root, because now you're going to be checking it out. He is the root of all evil.
He's played himself in, like, over a dozen roles.
A dozen roles in boxes. What kind of roles?
Dinner rolls.
Sometimes we like to eat dinner rolls. Hi-ha! Today, Hans is listening to some grinding death metal. Can you guess? I said that one of the words in their band.
No, you're talking about Metal Church.
Nope.
Death.
There's two words. One of them.
A simple death.
That's really close, but it's Napalm Death.
Cedric Death.
Napalm Death.
What's on your shirt?
Oh, that's right. Today is
mustard.
Day number 59 on my shirt.
Nice.
Mustard.
You got mouse turds in the mustard. He's the mustard tiger. He's listening to Noise for Music's Sake, which is a two-disc compilation that I own myself. It's got everything from their earliest stuff to the latest stuff that came out around the time that came out, which was like 2003. Mm-hmm. So good job, Hans, for listening to some Napalm Death.
They say a Napalm Death is one of the worst deaths ever because it's like a gel. It gets on you and you don't die. It just keeps burning.
Yeah.
And doesn't cool down when it hits your body.
Radiation poisoning.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the old classic, which I also own on picture disc, but I'm not allowed to listen to records right now because I don't have
a turntable.
I have a turntable. I just don't have a proper receiver because mine went tits up.
Oh, tits up.
With no bra. I was listening to Slayer Live Undead, the CD version, which actually has a couple bonus tracks.
Yeah.
What a love song. This is such a rockin' song, and then Ozzy had to go and ruin it with songs about, lyrics about love.
Love.
Oh, yeah. All right, so that's what's in our CD player. What have you been listening to, Flames? Anything new?
I've been listening to Sands of Time.
Oh, you said that last week, so you've just been listening to yourself.
Pretty much. That and Amon Amarth in Flames.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what to listen to.
He's listening inside of himself.
He is.
Look inside yourself, Flames.
Listen inside yourself and you'll hear.
In Flames, yeah.
Dude, you should listen to Bulbous Creation, a band that's so fucking rare they don't even have a goddamn Wikipedia page.
Dude, that was a related video on the page when I played the Blueberry Pancake.
I know!
That's the only reason I've heard of them.
Bulbous Creation.
Dude, that's a weird, pretty cool name for a band.
Can I go back?
No. How far
to
back?
Stephen Root.
You can.
Let's go. To a second movie. Oh, only God. Because it'll relate in some weird way to something, is a 1988 Stephen King movie. Can you name it?
Was it a theatrical movie or a TV movie?
I do believe it was a theatrical movie.
Was it probably a horror movie, I'm sure. 88.
It was a drama horror sci-fi movie rated R.
Tommyknockers.
No, but that is close.
Give me one hint. Or two, or seven.
It's very big in symbolism.
It.
Nope. Okay. Very big in symbolism.
Cujo.
Symbolism.
Oh, symbolism.
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 Ism.
And it was directed by George A. Romero.
Oh, Dawn of the Dead guy. Or Night of the Living Dead. I'm stumped. I'm stumped in flames.
Maybe it wasn't a Stephen King novel, and I just think it is.
Okay, what's it called then?
Monkey Shines.
No.
Monkey Shines.
He has a story similar about a monkey in a short story, which that may have been based on, but I don't think so. But I know Monkey Shines. So
it only shines when you polish it.
The dude had one of those monkeys that had the little...
Yeah, symbolism.
Ah, I got you now. He had the little symbols.
Yep.
I finally understand. No, but the dude was in a wheelchair, I believe.
Yep, he's a quadriplegic.
Yep, and the monkey fucked with him.
And his mother smokes and drinks.
What?
Yeah, the monkey fucks with him and freaks him out.
At the beginning, he's hit by a truck.
Spoiler.
Oh, geez. Well, now we know why he's... paraplegic, yeah. Or quadriplegic.
And just in case for parents out there, there are 12 uses of fuck, one use of cunt, one use of bastard, as well as uses of hell, damn, goddamn, asshole, bitch, son of a bitch, and shit.
God, if they're saying cunt in 1988, that's pretty fucking...
Yep.
That's hammering it down.
They're putting the hammer down is what they're doing.
Another spoiler, Alan has a dream in which his two-timing girlfriend and his doctor burned to death in a house fire.
That's always a nice thing to hope for somebody.
Yep, he later realizes it really happened.
It really happened. Because what, he had a premonition? Or what?
No, he had an ignition.
I think that was his power, wasn't it? That he made things happen telepathically?
See, now I can understand it with the Shining, Monkey Shines, Monkey Doos.
Yep. This monkey is Monkey Shines, a little trivia for you. This is one of the few films in cinema history to feature a male monkey.
It was a fake monkey, though, I thought.
This was George A. Romero's first studio film. However, the studio he was working with, Orion, had recut the film against his wishes, which contributed to the box office failure of the film. And afterwards, Romero went back to independent filmmaking until The Dark Half, also from Orion.
That was a Stephen King movie.
Orion.
Mm-hmm. The Dark Half was definitely Stephen King.
This is one of the very few films depicting a quadriplegic having sex.
Whoa.
Oh.
Because they wondered if he could
actually... That doesn't make sense, because I think there's probably a lot of porn movies.
Maybe. Not a lot. Maybe if it's a fetish.
Yeah, well, fetish, yeah.
Plegic porn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's as good as noticing.
Well, it was written by Michael Stewart.
Michael Stewart?
Michael
Stewart. I don't know who that is, but he is not Stephen King, it turns out to be.
No.
No, but Stephen King did write The Dark Half.
Mm-hmm. This guy wrote books like Far Cry.
Oh, Far Cry.
And wrote Fargo. Ones like Belladonna and Compulsion.
Fart Cry.
Go Far. Go far. That's Fargo when you watch it backwards.
If Fart Cry is like when your eyes water from the fart, right? That's like a fart cry.
After the whiff.
That's a fart cry.
That's
from
when
fucking
the whiff comes up in front of you, and that's you can't get away from it no matter how hard you try.
That's right. All right, well, hey, we're going to get the hell out of here and go get some pizza. We'd like to thank Pizza Now and their awesomeness, 928-0900 with a 541, because we're repping the 541. Hey, they have delivery available for a $2.50 fee, $15 minimum order. You can get three pizzas and a 2-liter delivered to your door for under $20. Now, that's a party.
Wow.
Wow.
And if you were Steve Harvey, you would say, wow.
And they got that new pizza every month thing, too. So check out whatever month you're listening to this. They got a pizza for you.
In this January, you already said what it was. I can't remember, though.
Yep.
Pizza, so listen, the chicken cordon bleu pizza.
Oh, that's right. Flames remembered. Good job. All right. And go to TagCast Podcast. Click on the Amazon banner. Do some shopping. Click on the donate icon. Give us some money. Listen to that, which must be a bulbous creation if I've heard anything. listen to us on Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you are on the go. We're mobily available. You can also listen to us on Facebook. And you can check out my schedule coming up for my upcoming shows. We'll have plugs after this, but go to terrygile.com and check it out. Get a lot of visitors from China. That's lo-fi, bro. I call that bro-fi.
It is bro-fi.
We're just going to use this. I was going to go to Floyd's, but this is cool enough. So thanks, you guys, for listening. Thanks for Flames being on the show. We're going to go stuff our mouth holes.
Mouth
holes. Is that Ozzy?
That's Eric Clapton, isn't it?
Nope. It's Bulbous Creation.
No, that's Bulbous Creation?
Yeah. They're so underground, they don't even have a Wikipedia page.
They don't.
They're not qualified enough to have one. So check out those guys, Bulbous Creation.
Yeah, I think their album was like pulled out. It was recorded in 1968. They found it and released it in 1994.
What, did they find it bulbous?
They did.
It was too offensively bulbous. They thought I was referring to a phallic object.
Lo-fi.
That's right. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. Go out, do some humping. Have
and
a good Wednesday.
On your bulbous creation.
That's right, you lucky slugs. Metal up your bulbous creation.
A little drum fill for you, Flames.
They don't have no distortion boxes. See you on Friday. Whoa. Background vocals by Gatch. Welcome to Plugs, everybody. I'm going to give you some shows to go to. If there's any aspiring comics in the area, you should go to the open mics and try your stuff out. It's fun. Every Tuesday at the Capital City Theater in Salem at 8 p.m. It's $5 if you're not performing, but it's free if you are. So go there and perform and have a good night. Every Wednesday at the Tiny Tavern in Eugene, 4th and Blair, with Mac Chase as your host at 9 p.m. And every Thursday at the Green Room with your host, Nick Huff. He'll huff and he'll puff and he'll blow your ass down. other comedy shows coming soon to areas near you include January 25th, it's Bleepin' Funny at the Sambon's Garage in Eugene. It starts at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's an early show. It's free, though. This month, featuring Max Brockman, Gina Ginsburg, Isaac Paris, Sarah Lowe, Melody Dodd, and myself, as well as your hostess with the mostest, Leanne Jashaway. And also later that night in Eugene at the Greenery, which is on 5th, right by the public market there. Comedy is Advertised with Seth Milstein. The 9 p.m. show, sliding scale $3 to $5, depending on what you can afford and like when you get there and stuff. There'll be an open mic after the show, so do that. January 31st, it's a Friday night, Grand Slam Comedy Show in Albany at the Denny's Lounge. It's going to be Flames' birthday party, as far as I know. It's a free show. It's 9 p.m. Seth Milstein, Mac Chase, Mike McGowan, and Max Brockman. Possibly, if I can talk him into it, a set by Dustin. So I'm going to host this one, because I've been doing sets every show, and now I'm feeling like I'm just telling the same jokes, but I got to get over that myself. Wait, this is Plugs, not a... Not an area for me to decide what's wrong with me. Valentine's Day, that's my 5-year anniversary. It's going to be the couples comedy show in Brownsville at the saloon there. Doug and Teresa Wyckoff are coming over from Florence for the He and She comedy show. Their relationship is a joke, and they share it with us. It's Brownsville Saloon, February 14th, 9 o'clock. I think it's a free show. And then February 26th at the Mill Casino in Coos Bay, it's me, Tegal, doing comedy at 7 and 9:30, opening for someone who's more professional and better than me. But I'm going to do my first casino gig, so please come and see me if you live in the Coos Bay area. I don't know anybody that lives there, but whatever. This Friday night at the Hawthorne Theater, it's World of Lies opening for DRI. It's going to be an awesome show. $15 in advance, $18 at the door. Vultures in the Sky and Roadkill Carnivore will also play. Those bands should always play together because that's just like they go together. Let's see what else. Zappa plays Zappa at the Roseland Friday, January 31st. If you don't go to our comedy show, maybe you'll go to that. I don't know. It's too expensive for me. Sunday, February 2nd at the Hawthorne Theater at Soulfly with local bands American Roulette and Chronological Injustice. $20 at the door. No, $25 at the door, excuse me. $20 in advance. Death Angel is coming to Hawthorne. Thursday, February 27th. $16 in advance, $20 at the door. And March 17th, it's The Sword with Big Business and Oh Brother. $20 and $25, the prices on those. And then March 30th, Roseland Theater, Carcass, Black Dahlia, Murder, Gore Guts, and Noisem. I don't know who Noisem is, but that's a funny name. Haven't had a chance to see Carcass in years. I know you haven't either, so you should probably go to that show. So as you can tell, there's lots of good stuff coming up. Please get down and do something. It's good for your constitution. And we fought for that shit, so... That's plugs for now. Thanks for listening to the show. Go back to tagcastpodcast.com and listen some more. We'll talk to you next time. Peace out.